Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our consciousness. And I have back on the show two of my favorite guests, and they their work covers so many different fields, but it's all about bringing the planet together to a higher level of awakening, to a more spiritual sense of ourselves, to more expanded place of reality. So I have with me Doctors JJ and Desiree Hertok. Thank you for being here tonight.
It's great to be with you, Alan, and the wonderful program that you have that reaches around the world.
And I have to say, I've been doing programs with the Hertoks since probably the mid-90s on video, and we have a whole video series coming out about 25 different videotapes, and they can probably find that on my website in a few months, newrealities.com, and on your website, right, Desiree?
Maybe not all of them at once, Alan.
Okay, not all of them at once. But
there it's going to be great. Yes, there's some fantastic stories that we've done together, from Egypt to
space science, to genetics, to music theory, to the basic aspects of who we really are in the universe. Are we facing new mysteries of creation, or are we simply suddenly opening our eyes to something that's been there all the time? We haven't seen it because we've just not had the proper optical vision. But in any event, this will be a great bibliothèque or library of teaching for people out there in the world to draw from in their unfoldment of evolution.
You know, we don't like to get too biblical all the time, but there's a verse in Daniel, the scroll of Daniel, this is the Old Testament, that says, you know, at the end of time, the true knowledge will become abundant and people all over the world will have it. And I think that's what's happening right now, really. And as Dr. Jack said, really, all these things, many of them have been right in front of us, and we've never really understood what these signs, what's the pyramid all about, for example. I mean, really, when we were talking about the Great Pyramid in the 70s, people didn't even know what that really was. They thought it was, you know, a wonder of the world, but it was just a bunch of stones. You know, people didn't understand. But now we're starting to see, now we're starting to ask questions, and we're seeing that, you know, it could have come from a ancient civilization that was even more advanced than we were, or they could have come from, you know, in contact with other realms of intelligence who gave us that information. And this is all coming out now. It's so exciting. We're like in the space-time overlap, where that's what we call it, where information is really being downloaded to everybody.
And that's why you need a recipe from A to Z to connect the points from archaeology to space science to futurism and ultimately the building of a new cosmology of our precious uniqueness of having both the divine spark as well as the human embodiment of life. So we really combine the two natures, the physical and the transphysical.
Well, I think that's the value of your work, the work of future science, is that you are giving us a new map for reality in general. And it's so much, people are so much more expanded than they ever thought they were. And your books like The Overself are showing us our maps for the greater light divine vehicle that we inhabit. But I want to go back to that point you brought up right at the very beginning, because I think that's an interesting point. Is the universe creating, or the multiverse creating, new phenomena, or are we just seeing, of course we're seeing more of what's already here, but is there more that's being created? That's a question I've always wondered about. What's your answer?
Well, my take on this is, of course, we're part of a 14 billion year old process of evolution in the physical sense, waking up to the theoretical constructs that there is indeed a multiverse or a higher evolutionary process at work. I'm cautious when I use the word multiverse, although Desiree and I have written about this with the famous mathematician Elizabeth Rauscher on the nature of the multiverse, because in traditional scientific terms, we do not have technology to measure a multiverse. Therefore, it doesn't really exist beyond theoretical discussion. So again, what we're saying is the evidence now through the new types of telescope in Chile and also now recently in China that give us a factor of about sevenfold increase gives us an understanding of the vastness of a expanding universe And here we're looking at inflation theory, a universe that is full of billions and billions of new stellar regions that we were not aware of a few years ago. And most importantly, we're realizing that there are what we call extrasolar planets, of which there's more than 135 that have been documented. So we recognize there are other planetary slash solar realities that could be habitats for some form of life that ultimately we will contact or have contacted in the sense of what we will call the black area of science, the unpublished area of science. And right. We're very excited that we have a fantastic future to look forward to, because all evidences point to the emergence of a new cosmology of consciousness.
Yeah, so if I can just add, also in terms of our cosmology, as Dr. Attack mentioned, you know, obviously this universe that we live in, third, fourth dimensional reality, fourth dimension being time, if you look at Einstein, it is growing, it's expanding. In fact, it's accelerating and is in its expansion. But what's interesting is not necessarily that what's changing, but what is interesting is that we seem to be able to get more in tune with the other dimensional realities and the, we'll call it portholes, which I believe exist throughout this realm and also the universe. And I think those portals are bringing us in touch with other levels of intelligence, and not just extraterrestrial levels, but actually ultra-terrestrial levels.
Correct.
Can you go into explaining what you mean by portal, please?
Well, Dr. Attack talks about the vortexes, of course, on this planet. And we do believe that there were and still are 12 vortex points around this globe. There's even more than 12, but 12 major ones, I'll call it. We actually say 12 major natural and 12 major artificial. And but everyone in their own selves can become a vortex, of course. But the idea is that those areas, and the Middle East actually being one of them, is being kind of tried to be opened to more and more of the light energy coming through. And we believe some of the stuff going on a very practical level on this planet in terms of the war games that are taking place actually is this kind of opening of this vortex reality. And when these vortexes open, there will be a direct connection between other levels of intelligence, we'll say even what we call the ultra-terrestrial, the whole light beings that are able to come in, and we also, by being in that place, can be in touch with them. So it's these...
Wait, you're saying that part of the wars that are going on there are fighting over these portal points? Is that what you're saying?
That's part of what we do believe, that there's two, at least two major areas on the planet, and I said 12 before, but I'm saying two in terms of major, the area around Pakistan, Tibet, that whole area there, and the other is in the Middle East. And we believe that's why it's been 6,000 years of chaos and clashes. It's because there is an energy force field right there, and that it's been in contention, we'll call it that, for many, many years. And those contention is about the local forces that like to keep the doors closed in a certain sense and maintain their controls. We call them sometimes like the local hierarchies, and the higher levels of intelligence that are trying to really awaken people with knowledge and wisdom on the planet.
Well, I have to say that I do feel very good when I'm in the Middle East. I mean, I don't like the politics or all that chaos that's happening there, but there's something about the land that's very soothing.
That's right. If you go to the Keys of Enoch, for those of you who do have the book, it's also available now on the internet, www.keysofenoch.org, a key or section 105 actually shows you two maps of our planetary continental system and the contact areas that I emphasized in my writings in 1973 have been largely validated by those who have looked at these so-called lattice-like areas that are formed between the intersection of longitudinal lines and latitudinal lines. NASA scientists that I know have even configured planes with radar platforms to look at some of these areas from the sky, and they've observed vortical patterns of energy tend to build in these particular areas where things get lost, things violate really the laws of thermodynamics as we define it. There seems to be geophysical and paraphysical doorways or corridors that one cannot explain. And I read from Key 105, verse 9, invisible lines of force establish a systematic pattern for the formation of particles of matter and antimatter in the programming and control of individual intelligence. The main lattice formed by these lines of force consists of 30 minutes of arc divisible into 16 smaller grid areas measuring 7.5 minutes of arc by 6 minutes of arc, or 45 square nautical mile units. Again, this sounds like a lot of Greek and Chinese, and of course, I'm saying this in the context of actual scientific investigations that have pretty much confirmed that there are these particular anomalies that seem to appear on the surface of the Earth just as energy forces come out of our body at certain acupuncture points. So there's definitely some type of interconnection with the energy forces on the surface of the planet and those that are off the surface of the planet.
And, you know, there's some of these vortex points, especially the natural ones, that are over water. And so, therefore, you find, like, the Bermuda Triangle, which I actually had friends that did research in there, and they saw some very, very unusual things. In fact, they encountered extraterrestrial beings when they were literally doing research in the Bermuda Triangle. But in addition to that, over by Japan, you find something called the Dragon Triangle, which is very similar to the Bermuda Triangle. So it's not unique, the Bermuda Triangle. You actually have it on the other side of the globe as well.
Right, but let's go into the science of this, because I think it's a very important area. And because you are, in a way, dedicated to future science, we don't have to just call them mystical or vortex points. We can really go into what's happening there. Where are they doorways into? What is the operating physics of an advanced physics that's being activated at those points? If you want to share some of your insights into that, I'd be interested.
Well, the most basic, of course, is that it's a magnetic anomaly. And we have magnetic anomalies all over the planet. There's a whole area in the southern hemisphere, a little bit over Brazil, but mostly out into the southern Atlantic, where there's literally like almost no magnetic fields, very, very low magnetic field strengths. And what's interesting, if you take a look at a map of the entire world, and you can find this now about magnetism, and it changes, the magnetic field strength actually changes throughout the whole world. It doesn't change by a lot, but changes by a little.
It's not uniform, you're saying. Yes. Okay, yeah, I get that.
It's interesting. In some areas, I think, and this is some of the research we've done with the Russian, our friend Trofimov, and we...
Another paraphysicist.
Right, in Russia. He's done analysis of the magnetic fields, and he finds where there's a weaker magnetic field, one becomes more, we'll say, sensitive, or we would call it psychic. We'd have a...
Persinger also in Canada says that less cosmic activity makes people more sensitive to their psychic awareness, if you want to call it
that. I was just thinking of Michael Persinger because he's very important. He realized that there were forces trapped in the mantle of the Earth when we released would cause certain aberrations, certain bizarre activities in plants, animals, and humans. But more specific, I happen to know from my work in remote sensing research using airborne and spaceborne radar that those who have observed the oceanic movements, the vortical patterns of oceans, recognize that there are tropical air conversion areas or points on the planet where things more readily are susceptible to these unusual forces where energies from one domain of energy converge with another very rapidly, creating, as it were, this vortex, or what the Keys of Enoch call the vortex, yah, V-O-R-T-E-X-J-A-H. And I read from the glossary of the Keys of Enoch these words, time warp programming areas for space brotherhoods, a region of space-time matter which does not correspond to the physics of three-dimensional space and set functions of physical reality. In other words, we're looking at something that is a step function up from what we normally would perceive and understand with, shall we say, hands-on technology.
Right. So I want to say something. Actually, the whole planet, of course, is losing a certain amount of magnetic field strength. And this is worrying scientists in terms of the Van Allen belts and certain things like that with solar flares. But we believe that this is all part of a pattern. And we're leaving tomorrow, as you may know, Alan, to go over to a conference in Germany. And we're working with some people there that are looking at the fact that all of these changes taking place that we're noticing, especially the magnetic field differentiations, is perhaps part of a greater plan or greater program to allow us that space-time overlap, that greater connection with higher levels of intelligence. And that's a very strange thing, but actually it's part of what the Keys of Enoch are saying. In a sense, these vortexes are like chakra points, chakra energies, but they work with magnetic fields and electromagnetic energy. But if the higher intelligence really could manipulate some of these fields, then they can allow, you know, some of the openings to take place and reconnect the planet to its own original identity.
So well, let me just add that it's not only the higher energies. There's been battles over what's been called the telluric energy lines, the energy lines that run the Earth. And there's this secret society in Spain that's been able to use these lines to manifest certain treasures, maybe. It's illustrated in the book by Umberto Eco called Foucault's Pendulum, and Umberto Eco infiltrated this secret society, understood that they were controlling these energy vortexes of the Earth, and I went on a trip to the south of France and Spain, northern Spain and France, and saw some of these portal points, and this society does these chants or these prayers, and they manifest certain higher conscious beings. They talked about one with the lady with the cup appears through certain chanting on these vortex points, and it's some of this is also laid out in a book called The Portal by Patrice Chaplin. So these have been used by those who know the power to access it for their own, maybe it's benevolence, yeah. Or maybe it's not. I don't know.
That's what I would say. I mean, I think these things are happening and you can manipulate it, but it's better really to try to work with the higher forces than to try to simply do it yourself, so to speak.
The concept of telluric lines of force have been known since Egyptian times.
Right.
And even Tesla was aware of this in some of his early research. So this is nothing new, but you brought up a very interesting perspective. Our work is with the public, not with esoteric societies. And we run the danger of getting back into these so-called esoteric elites who have, as it were, a concept of cosmology or theology or science that is for the few rather than for the many. We're interested in mainstream education, mainstream science, and mainstream ecumenical theology that can point the way towards a happy understanding of the situations that we've gone through for thousands of years, where the information base has been in the hands of the very, very few, whether it's been esoteric or exoteric, Alan. This is very important to understand. We're interested in working with real scientists who have real degrees, who have done real work, but more importantly, we're interested in working with psychologists, futurists, and cosmologists to understand that the human consciousness itself is more important at this stage of the game. It's not scientific data, but it's the interpretation of scientific data and what we do with it.
Right, and that's why I was saying that basically you can create your own vortex in your own living room, literally in a state of meditation. So you don't have to go to these points. And, you know, these things are coming in from literally the other side. And I'm not saying that certain people are drawn to certain locations. I grew up in Florida, for example, which is why I had kind of an insight into some of this, because I did understand some of the activities connected with the Bermuda Triangle at that point, even at an early stage. And so, you know, but that's where I was born, raised, and that's the energies I was working with at the time. But it's important to realize your own individual mission. And for the most part, we don't feel people need to sit around a vortex and chant. There's enough people being drawn for their own work and for whatever reason to various places all over the planet.
And this is the whole drama of the consciousness shift. People of Orthodox Christianity, Judaism, Sufi traditions, Eastern teachings are being drawn into a higher awareness beyond, as it were, the traditional black and white symbolism as to the importance of the mathematics of the human heart.
Right, but when I understand. Yeah. Well, but I also want to say, if we understand the science behind these portals, we can get access to energy for everyone and doorways through dimensional spaces that can benefit the whole planet. And they've been kept secret by these esoteric societies. And there's a science behind it. And I think your work, if we can expand into that, we can bring a greater technology to people that access these vortex points. I think it's very exciting.
Yes, we agree with you, Alan. And that's why you're part of a teamwork that we share with many people, from major universities to the United Nations, to build a sustainable effort that reaches across all areas of science, but primarily emphasizes the positive side of our human consciousness and the hope that we can have energy efficiency, the hope that we can have renewable energy sources at our fingertips, the hope that we can have alternative fuels and technologies, and through that, energy and climate change will be modified somewhat, and energy in developing countries can be used somewhat. We realize that we are in a very unique situation that is very desperate in those parts of the world where we have seen these massive changes already in place. But we are also in a good part of the world, that is to say the Americas, where we do have the fantastic reserve of energy, intellectual and scientific talent, and hardworking people that are willing to, shall we say, push the envelope in a direction of bringing science, psychology, and spirituality together into a working modality of seeing the big picture.
But I think enough said with the fact that the entire planet, no matter where you are, is going to become more, we'll say, heightened in awareness. And that heightening really can cause some people to get into a state of chaos, which I think many people feel nowadays. But if you meditate, if you tune into the higher forces, no matter where you are, you'll be able to really be divinely guided and directed. And I love it because young people, most of these young people, 35 and under, are having experiences, direct experiences. And we hope the Academy for Future Science can be there in the Keys of Enoch to explain some of these experiences to them as to what they mean and why they're experiencing these other realities at this time. I know we were sitting at a dinner table the other night. We won't say names, but a friend of yours came by and she had had some, you know, she had been a regular business person, and all of a sudden she experiences and it really changed her life. And I think this is happening all over. And I think that's the opening of the portals. And it doesn't have to be in one particular part of the world. But I do think in terms of the Middle East, which everyone should be sending some prayers for peace and transformation over there, one of the reasons is because of the importance of that particular zone.
Right. And I do want to say this is a live program, and we are open, Doug, if you're listening, who's producing us, for phone calls. And I think the number to call is 530-413-9537 if you want to call in.
And yes, Alan, you also mentioned one of our other books, The Oprah Self Awakening.
Yes.
Desiree and I have diagrammed certain parts of the world that we should know more about in the Far East, in Central and South America, and in certain parts of East Europe and Central Asia. There are, shall we say, great libraries of teaching and knowledge that we must be aware of that are at our, shall we say, crossroads of either being destroyed or being preserved. And part of our outreach is to do the archaeological field research so that some of these precious documents from a much earlier period of history can give us some opening as to how the human race at one time had a vast range of correspondence from east to west, from north to south, looking at the energies that we on Mother Earth have to contend with from time to time due to solar changes, cosmic oscillations, and unknown phenomena.
Right. Well, it's all it is all coming together now. This ancient past, the buried history of lost civilizations, including what you mentioned earlier, the pyramids and that technology, and where we're moving into the future. What Desiree just mentioned, the opening of the portals, which is the acceleration of the vibratory rate where people are having these new awakened experiences, and it's all coming together now because we're moving into a new society, a new way of looking at reality, which I think the foundation of your work is all about. So if how do we then access those realms? Are they just coming to us? I mean, what do we do with this? How do we build a foundation for a new society, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, the first thing I would say is that we have to recognize, and this is really almost outlined in the book, The Over-Self Awakening. First, very first step is understand that we are not alone in the universe. And that means not just other extraterrestrials, but that you're constantly picking up, no matter who you are practically, on thought forms from other realms, other realities. And that it's up to us to what we do with our thoughts every moment. And I know this is like kind of a Buddhist type of teaching, but they were right in that regard. We have to watch our thoughts and pick up on the positive thoughts to help humanity or to help, you know, at least our immediate family, and to also tune in to higher levels of reality. Many people want to focus on the ETs. Now, that's one level of reality, but that's not the only one. And most of the ETs are really, according to the Keys of Enoch, in as much problem with their planets and their situations as we are. So okay. Really, it's not the solution to the problem.
Well, yeah, going
a much higher level of engagement.
Right, but going back to the idea of focusing on thoughts and combining this with the idea that there are portals, the reason that I think humans have accessed these realms is because these fluctuations in the electromagnetic sphere and the grid lines can actually help manifest intention faster. And I think that's part of, you know, so if there's aggression in the Middle East, that is then blown out of proportion because of the portal energies there, but we can also use those things in positive ways. And I think that's why people have always sought out sacred spaces, because of the amplification of the energetics there.
Right. And we always had the ability to do it. It just was much tougher. And now with the changing fields and the opening of these grids, as we're talking about, it's much easier. And more people can do it, and more people are doing it. Some of them are doing it without even knowing they're doing it. So that's how easy it is for some people. But it's overwhelming. So one, you have to have the ability to understand that there's these other realities. Otherwise, you're just overwhelmed. I mean, people see lights or beings sometimes in their midst, and they go, wow, what's that? And then they kind of shut down and say, I don't want to see any of that anymore. And they just cut themselves off. So that's not where you're supposed to go. You're supposed to realize that there are these multiple opportunities and realms of intelligence, and that we can be communicating with them. That's the very beginning of the Over-Self Awakening book.
Yes, we have to be aware that this consciousness shift is a tremendous shift upwards into a fantastic expansion of consciousness. Tremendous things are happening. I know Desiree uses the Buddhist metaphor, but I would like to use the Kabbalistic metaphor, which is more traditional with the Western Judeo-Christian heritage, because it really takes us to the realms of what the ancient mystics would call the Olam Atzilut, the higher realms of the divine, and as we are pulled up through these incredible experiences that just a handful of scientists have known throughout the world, we're beginning to realize that there are actual beings of light that are part of this great educational upliftment that we're going through. No longer do we have these traditional divides between habitats or digital systems or banking systems or economic systems or agricultural systems. No, we begin to see that the bridge work has been placed now into our consciousness, that we can see east and west, north and south converge into a higher synthesis.
Well, I agree. And then the foundation, I think, of all this change is that we are just not living in a material world only. Yes, the material world exists, but what governs the material world are the energetics of something that's beyond the material. And that's really the new foundation for the paradigms and worldviews that we need to come in to as this planet shifts into new realities. I really think it's something like that, understanding.
I would say that this is a new understanding of the mysteries of creation. We are beginning to understand both scientifically and spiritually that our evolution is part of a much greater evolution, the Keys of Enoch call the higher evolution, and that our human intelligence on this little planet is just a natural cosmophysical manifestation on a universal scale. So we are beginning simply to recognize, just as we see the cells within our body combine in very unique ways, feeding information through the meridians of the human body in terms of the healing science, how we as a planetary humanity are waking up to receive, as it were, the biophysical inputs from other areas of the universal humanity. We are beginning to graduate as universal humans into what that really means.
And what that means, is the fact that, as we actually do show in our Over Self Awakening book, the physical body is just a very, very small part of who we are. And that the real focus of the book is what we call the Over Self body, which is really the higher self that manifests various physical forms. And so it's really that higher thought form, that higher presence, that even manifests you and I. And that, right, therefore, we could have been in the past, we can be on this planet, we can be on another planet, because the over-self is actually much greater than the local self.
I agree, and this is, I know we've had this discussion before, but I think this is where religion gets in the way of the true science of the spirit, and we need to understand that there's a science to incarnation, there's a science to over-self, becoming, merging, and this is a science that will then lead the world in a new direction. And I think when we have that understanding as our baseline, everything changes. Our institutions, our education, our medicine, our philosophies, everything transforms. Don't you agree
with some of that? Yeah, JJ's going to jump in, but I was going to say that really religion, well, not religion, but the original source of the major religions had this knowledge. By the time it got down and filtered down to the guy, you know, like standing maybe at the pulpit, he missed the point in some cases. Some of them really still get it, you know, depending on who and what. But the idea is, I think that this is really ancient knowledge that is being revived, although there's an energy coming in now that's ready to revive it, and we call that the energy of the Holy Spirit or the energy of the Divine Mother.
That's being poured out upon us as we talk tonight. The gifts of the divine, called in the ancient Greek the domatoi, the abilities to see at great distances, that use the remote sensing powers of the mind, the human psyche, the ability to heal at great distances or in local space, the ability to tap into new areas of medical creativity, the areas really to see the abundance and love of the divine through the Holy Spirit, what is called the Ruach in the languages of the ancient Near East, is something that we feel is being increased and poured out upon humanity. And that is why in the Keys of Enoch, our classical book, we are told we are entering into the age of the Holy Spirit, where there will be a great abundance of light, a type of Pentecostal upliftment in the actions and behaviors of the humans, who will begin to suddenly feel a tremendous rushing of energy, a sense of direction with a higher level of intelligence, and a certain key memory process of how this ties into the teachings of the great masters, the great sages, the great prophets of antiquity. So we're beginning to see on one side the end of a cycle and the beginning of a greater cycle. There is this overlap that's affecting the emotional body, the mental body, the spiritual body. And this is why the comparison of the human intelligence with a hologram that some have made, like David Bohm and Carl Priebram, is theoretically and experimentally possible if we're looking at this light phenomena in a simplified way. But again, we're staying in our teaching, and here we encourage people to be aware that we've written other books and other papers, that we are at a certain stage of a quantum change. We're going into a period of fantastic interpretation and experience of new levels of consciousness development. And we see this as a positive change that's going to come in spite of the horrendous difficulties we see in terms of the classical paradigms. I'm saying this as a result of having the contact experience with the divine and realizing that we just use so much of, shall we say, the mythical and so little of the real scientific and the spiritual energy behind the mythical.
Right. So would you say this is a slow awakening? I mean, or will we reach a tipping point and boom, the world just gets it? What's your feeling about the future there?
Sadly, because we live in a world of duality, you know, we can go into the historical reasons for that, that as much as people are getting it, making that upward spiral of understanding, there's a lot of people that are also part of the downward spiral. So it's not going to be so cut and dry as that. With that said, the whole purpose of the Keys of Enoch was multifold, but one of the things was Dr. Hudak was told that 64 areas of science would take a quantum leap, and this is part of that abundant information that we were talking about. The fact that the information about, say, cloning and genetics that we're experiencing now, stem cells. Now, one could say, you know, we evolved into this. Some people say, as you know, from the work of Colonel...
Stevens?
No, okay. That the ETs gave us some of this information. And
Bob Lazar, Bob Dean, one of those guys.
Anyway, the guy right. But in addition to that, and I think the ETs did give us some of this, but ultimately the information that's coming in through these energy portals, through the changes in the magnetic fields, is really feeding scientists information so that we're preparing ourselves so that it will be, aha, I understand, and we'll be much closer to higher levels of intelligence. Look how fast, I mean, really, that we've evolved. I mean, we were riding horses basically about 115 years ago. I mean, that's my grandfather's, maybe some people's great-grandfather's era.
I know, and you give a little kid a computer, a cell phone, they know how to use it instantly. And there's this whole evolution merging with technology, with this vibrational acceleration, with the opening of people's minds. And I think we're going to find ourselves, like, for the better, in a new world, but a lot of the old will have to disappear, you know, right. And that's the struggle we're in now. I know people all the time, they're tired with their jobs, they want to move forward, but they're sort of stuck, and I just tell them to go with what they feel, you know. So I don't know, do you have any advice? Because there's so many people in this time of transition that are dissatisfied with the old, and as you were starting to lay out in the Oversoul, there's something new awakening them.
Right. It is difficult because the planet is still, you know, hanging on to the old on a lot of levels. And I usually tell people, don't quit your day job and start doing what you like in all other times of your life. Because that, especially if you live in New York, it's not that easy. And, you know, years ago in the 70s, I mean, people could just do what they wanted. But now things are getting actually more complicated on some physical levels that it is difficult to quit.
I mean, we can tell people to go into programs of future studies or improve their curricula to teach subjects that are based upon real issues of sustainability, energy, that really works for the benefit of humanity. But more importantly, to your question, the reason we put together the Academy is so we could focus on all sides, like a university without walls, very special teaching tools such as our award-winning videos, Merkaba and Light Body, that are being used throughout the world, that have been translated into various languages, represent how our inner consciousness can deal with the advancement of knowledge, the understanding of these unique symbols that, shall we say, mark one traditional system of belief from a different, but see the greater totality that is part of the higher divine, and also come up with the realization that this is an ongoing type of experience of how the inner mind can be stimulated and can be given its pious sense of breathing, visualization, and productivity, other than simply going through a textbook that is bloodless and perhaps not as meaningful.
Right, so keeping on just a practical level for individuals who may be listening, really you can change your consciousness and be more of the light in wherever you are. You know, if you're a doctor, you can become more, we'll say, integrative medicine. If you're a teacher, you can start. I mean, we had a friend who was a teacher, used to start teaching people about extraterrestrials and how to you know, work with them in the different levels. I mean, he was just a science teacher, and he was doing this junior high, by the way.
But he was doing it very carefully, yeah. Simply by suggesting that these are modalities that we can think about.
But whatever you're doing with a mother and child, I mean, I was playing with a child. I mean, you can teach your children to do remote viewing. I mean, because you're teaching them stuff. It's amazing what you can do. You just have to start incorporating really your own gifts into wherever you are, whether even if it's in sales, for example, every kind of job, no matter what it is, you can incorporate the light energy and the light work in
so
it.
Our emphasis is on the positive rather than looking over our shoulder always at the background, the back
right.
of the tree. Well, let's put emphasis upon the positive side of the divine and the human, or what we would call the human universal integration that's taking place, because our human intelligence, we have found through our research and that of others, possesses the property of what we call pre-reflection or forward reflection on a cosmoplanetary scale. In other words, we're not simply looking back or simply in the present reality. We have this fantastic mental antennae, pluralistically speaking, to reach out and to feel incoming information and to discern events before they happen on some level.
Right, and I just have to say that this is really what's going to make the planet move forward. It's going to be everybody in their field, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, being the light, using the light in their profession, and to move that forward. That's the quantum leap. I mean, for the politicians, for the economists, for all aspects, you know, there's a way of doing this, and that's what has to change. I don't think it's one field or another. It's just not these people are going to be able to make the change and the other people won't. All people have that potential in every field that we've established on this planet.
Right. So you're saying how to the paradigm. Yes, one, it's shifting. People are going through awakenings where they're seeing energy, they're feeling energy, but as Dr. Hertog just said, the idea is to use our minds, our brains, to access a sort of multidimensional reality that is been negated up until now. And I think that's the real new shift, the new time, the new ways of understanding the world that is coming online, so we can start to really live in a different type of world. And I think that's
exactly.
What's really important.
Exactly. Yeah. This will open up unlimited opportunities and new avenues, not only for the virtual reality that we see through little machines and gadgets that young people seem to be more preoccupied with now, but really we get beyond machines and open our mind, our higher consciousness, to a special prognostic studies, futuristic studies, even areas of new science that will come to pass very quickly, because now we're working with collective minds coming together, brainstorming, designing the future, and taking a higher sense of priority that the positive will override the negative, and thus the full capacity of the mind, the spirit, and the body are awakened together in unity rather than operating in emotional sensitivity and opposition.
But this is important because there's some important things, like with cell phones. You know, you and I, Alan, have been able to tune into each other even before you call. Sometimes I'm thinking of you, you're thinking of me.
Yes, yes.
Like that.
Yes.
So cell phones have gotten us more aware of one another, more aware of almost remote viewing each other and becoming more sensitized. And I think people do that all over the world. But at the other side of the technology, some people are relying too much on technology to change. There's a whole movement called 2045, which is the year 2045, and the idea that, you know, eventually all you have to do is capture our brain waves and you can put us in artificial bodies and we'll live to be, 200, 300 years old. Well, is that really the way to go, or is it really developing our consciousness to be able to preserve the telomeres in our DNA? And there's Norman Shearley just did a whole paper on this. I encourage people to take a look at that, that your thoughts can actually keep you, we'll say, alive. And I think that's extremely important. So don't wait for the machine. Don't wait for the stem cells to always have to cure you. I mean, do it with your own consciousness. And
So your thoughts can affect the telomeres? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, take a look at what Norman Shearley is also putting out.
What is the name of that paper? How do we find it?
I'll see if
His name, Norman Shealy. We were with him years ago when I was a member of the Academy of Parapsychology and medicine back in the 70s in California, but he is with the Holos Institute, H-O-L-O-S, right outside Springfield, Missouri. And he's now in retirement, but he publishes some of his material from time to time. So if you go to his name, Shealy, Norman Shealy, on the web, you'll be able to call up his paper, the actual title, which escapes us right now. But
the idea is that consciousness can improve your physical being, not just your mind, but also your physical being. It can do healing when you project the right thought forms. Many people are looking at this now. You know, you and I, of course, and Dr. Itak work with Anita Morjani. And yes. It was a change of her thoughts that immediately healed her. Now, we're not into healing, but that's something that's very practical.
It's okay to be into healing. Actually, I just found this Norman Shealy paper. It's on Foundation for Alternative and Integrative Medicine .org, F-A-I-M, and it's about telomere rejuvenation, key to health and longevity. So, yes, thoughts affect our bodies.
Exactly.
If you're worried and stressed, your stomach will produce more acid. It'll start to age the body quicker. And the people that are happier have more, endorphins. They feel better. So we can control our own bodies to some degree. And you feed it good food
With this comes the understanding that we're moving from higher states of consciousness into a collective superconsciousness where great numbers of people working together will, I believe, in concert with our cosmic counterparts from advanced civilizations looking at problems of Mother Earth, will feed down the biophysical, the spiritual ingredients and insights that we need for this age of the divine spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, as it was called at the time of the Pentecost. We're going to be moving into what I believed in Desiree also, a type of cosmic Pentecost, where people will begin to increase their memory, increase the vibratory rate, increase the positive thinking, a deeper sense of engagement.
What does Pentecost mean? Can you just describe that to...
As in the New Testament, the term that was used for the 50-day period after Jesus, in the historic moment of the cross, in event or the death on the cross, to the time that the Spirit, the divine Spirit, was given or poured out upon the disciples who were gathered, where light phenomena appeared over their heads.
Right, and they were able to speak in all the different languages and talk to people who they had never talked to in their own language. It was all these flames of light that were seen over their heads. So it was the pouring out of the Spirit.
Wait, is that the time of Jesus' ascension?
Well, 50 days after. No, ascension probably, one would say, took place about 3 days afterwards. And maybe
We're looking at the historic chronology where 50 was set aside. It was a very important time period.
It's also in the Jewish religion as well, the 50 days after...
the Jubilee.
Is that
the Jubilee?
And the 50 was also considered by Kabbalists or mystical thinkers in Judaism to represent a type of mathematical pattern for the coming out of Egypt, out of lower bondage. And so what we're saying here in the Keys of Enoch is we have five bodies: the electromagnetic, the epikinetic, epigenetic, the echo body of many plus or minus relativities, inner body of bioluminescence, and the outer body of superluminescence, or the power of greater light. And if we put all of these together, they represent historically the gematria of 50, the body of going from the physical to the transphysical. So at a time where we're seeing this whole concept of multidimensionality, not simply in scientific papers, but in our very life. We're seeing this also in people that we've worked with. Desiree and I, as you know, Ellen, have worked worldwide in archaeological areas with people in remote viewing who've been able to see things before and with us in the context of discovery, under the ocean, under the lions, under the mountains, showing that there's this tremendous power of our mental capacity that can be expanded.
Well, I agree with all this, of course, because this program has been dedicated to this. So let's just jump ahead a little bit and just talk about this future world as if it was here, I don't know, maybe there'll be 20 years or 100 years, but what does the world look like when these realities and these sciences are the mainstream, and they're known by everyone, and we know there's a divine spark, and we're awakened to these higher powers. How does it look to live in a place like that?
Right. I just want to go back to the colonel who I had forgotten his name. His name is Colonel Corso. Of course, he was the one that was talking about the fact that certain technologies, including night vision goggles, the certain micro technologies, came from certain alien back engineering of their spacecraft. So there's a lot of levels and a lot of entities that are trying to help us graduate to become more aware, because we think we're going into really a cosmic brotherhood, sisterhood, a cosmic cultural. So I think right. We cannot ignore.
We're being prepared. Yeah.
Well, we can't ignore the fact that in the future, we really will have certain levels of contact. I mean, when you can look at the future, you can look at, okay, if we advance, and you look at the 2045, where we don't even need the physical body, everything can be artificial intelligence and things like that. Right now, we're already growing bladders from stem cells in a laboratory. We're growing trachea tubes and
we're going to be able to replace our own body parts.
Where you take other people's organs anymore. You don't need transplants. That'll be gone completely, thank goodness, because people are misusing that very much.
Well, we'll have our own body parts that can grow our own organs. I mean, yes, that's incredible. But what does what does the future look like? I mean, that might be part of it, but how do we live? What is, if we can speculate on a new society?
Yeah. You know, if we have, we'll say free energy, zero point energy, solar energy, wind energy, however you want to look at it, if we have free energy, we have renewable body parts, we have a better economic system because of all of this.
We're going to have community echo, ECO-nomics. In other words, it's not the external shell of beautiful, transparent cities of light, but it's the inner understanding of what that means. Cities and the formal industrial sector will no longer be the primary source of employment. The real interdependence will come from a lessening dependence on state and aid, and from the realm of spirit building up within us. There will be a self-realization of what we see in terms of the great scientists that Desiree and I have had the pleasure of working with, the common acceptance of remote viewing, remote sensing, remote healing, the ability to live with fantastic energy and understanding, and the interconnection with other worlds of intelligence, the fact that we will have interplanetary commerce, we will have an opportunity to see a different level of a genetic, shall we say, reality that is no longer hidden in esoteric or super scientific language, but something that will allow us through our own consciousness to reprogram our own genetics.
And I think what's most important is that we will have hopefully more time for ourselves and for each other.
I was going to get to that, because we will no longer be working for survival.
Right. That's right. Information, knowledge, and skills will be the real determinants for growth. And the most rewarding jobs will be those found in serving our own community. There will be unrealized local expertise and wealth creation that will be mobilized as we begin to realize that the wealth is the treasury of the divine spirit within us, that we are the temple of the divine, and that will take on a higher meaning as we go into a higher state of evolution. So ultimately, we will be moving from the material-based evolution to one that is energy-based and then increased into more consciousness, awareness, coming up to what the great thinkers have thought of in terms of the new sphere, NOOSPHERE, the new sphere of the higher mind and the spiritual mind co-dwelling with each other. The sense of Christed nature will come out.
Right,
the
and what Desiree...
Science will be crossed.
But yes, I agree. And what Desiree was saying, and you can keep expanding on that, Desiree, is this more time for ourselves, because I think artistic creation, the creative force, becomes very much alive in a future like this.
Well, you know, some people just want to go fishing. So it's always a matter of, you know, where the person is at, and hopefully they'll develop their higher consciousness. Hopefully they'll spend some time really being able to enlighten themselves on many levels. And ultimately, we also feel we'll become light beings that will evolve, because we're working with our friend, a scientist called Peter Garayev connected with Russia, and he feels that our whole DNA, and this is what the Keys of Enoch say, are really frequencies of light, and we should be able to really change the frequency of being no longer just three- and fourth-dimensional realities, but move into fifth and eighth and ninth-dimensional realities.
To put this into a simple sentence, it means that we will find that we are in a divine human partnership. We will begin to work with fantastic abilities that simply cannot be punctuated in human language or punctuation as we commonly use it in scientific papers. So I'm asking our audience to go to our website, keysofenoch.org, and scroll down to some of our fantastic music with great singers, instrumentalists, composers. Look at some of our film documentaries that deal with how consciousness expansion works. Be aware of some of our texts, such as Over Self Awakening, and also the Keys of Enoch, and also take into account some of our great videos, such as the one that was done by one of our colleagues.
The Light Body, we have Wisdom of the Wayshowers.
That deals with the conversation with astronaut Mitchell and others. And be aware that we just come out with a new film called Gates of Light, which illustrates certain proverbs or statements that deal with the findings in the cosmos. We have fantastic pictures on film to share.
Right, and we also have a website more on a scientific side called www.futurescience.org. It talks about the rings of Saturn. It talks about cosmic inflation, which we were talking about a little bit at the beginning of the show, and many other interesting things that have come out recently in the news. And if you want to send prayers for the planet, go to healtheplanet.org, which is our other website, where you can literally put in a prayer for someone, because putting in a prayer, even to the internet, really makes a transformation. We always send some positive energy to everyone there who needs our prayers, and also to the planet in general. We're also on Facebook.
So right, look for our video series coming out on those websites as well.
Exactly, Ellen. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be a wonderful series of programs that every college, a teaching program, everyone that's really interested in futurism should acquire. So to summarize, we're beginning to realize that consciousness is the hidden variable for great quantum changes. It's one that is not recognized because traditionally we work with statistics, mathematics, what I call bloodless abstractions in the physical sciences, without the color, without the geometry of vibration, certainly without the consciousness of the higher mind and the expansive nature of life itself. And so let us be endowed with these properties. Let us focus on the light, capital L, and let us be aware that there is a divine spark within everyone on this planet that will understand ultimately the cosmic design, that we are humans, but we are also spiritual creations. We are cosmoplanetary humans, and we are in quest of the next stage of our citizenship in the house of many mansions, many universes, many worlds. May we be blessed.
Thank you. I have to say, both of you are actually living those higher realities. You are living in the advanced age, and that's why you're able to share those vibrations with everyone who you have meetings with. And of course, you do your keys meetings, and we could find out about that on your website, Future Science. So it's very exciting, these conversations, the series of conversations. I'm always learning more. And it's fun for me to explore these new avenues of thought with both of you, who are really on the edge of the unknown, and bringing that to the people who are open to hearing about it. So thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank
Always
you.
A pleasure to be
and
with you.
Love
all
to
right.
all guests throughout the world who have had the opportunity to share with us this time.
Okay. Thank
peace
you both. Yes.
And positive courage as we go forth.
Yes, yeah, send your prayers of peace to the Middle East. It really is needed.
It is. And to the entire world, because I think this, it comes down to this. We are either moving forward into the unknown future of glory or that we've just outlined, or we're not. So I think we are, and I think, you know, this is the excitement.
Spiral, and you know, we can acknowledge that there's a downward spiral, but we don't have to live in it.
Right. Thank you both very much.
And thank you for the state of the future that we discussed with you on this program, which for practical purposes we call a conversation on the mysteries of creation and recreation. Thank you, Alan.
Okay, I'll talk to you guys soon. I've been talking to Doctors J.J. Hertog and Doctors Desiree Hertog about their work, about their explorations into consciousness, into science, into awakening. Welcome back to New Realities. I'm here with another guest, just for a short segment here, Mada Liza Dalyan, who is coming to New York this week. She'll be at the New Life Expo, which you can find at newlifemag.com at the Pennsylvania Hotel in New York City. Welcome, Mada. Welcome.
Hi, Alan. Hi, good to talk to you again.
Yes, well, I haven't seen you or talked to you in a while. And can you just briefly outline your work? Because I know you deal with a lot of energy, a lot of transformation, and you know what people will expect at the expos coming up and your talks.
Yes, I'm very excited to come to New York. And as a matter of fact, this was almost like a fluke that corresponds to the release of the new method, the DAV device, a self-healing method. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited that it's happening in New York and at the New Life Expo.
Well, and what is it? What exactly is new about your work here?
Well, this is the self-healing version of the method that I've been working with people since 1997. And it is so direct, and it's so 180-degree transformative immediately, so that I felt that more people need to be able to have access to this. So I started developing the self-healing version of it, and since 2009, I've been exploring and experimenting with many people. And to my own surprise, when I see the results of it, when people use it on their own, even I am shocked. And
what is it exactly that you're doing? I mean, I know you can't go over the whole thing, but what's going on?
Well, what it does, Alan, is normally what happens is we try to, when we have challenges or problems or physical problems, any kind of problems, we try to address them with our mind. But we don't go deep enough into the body to see what's the original imprint, what is the program that's running in the body's cells. Because the body is made of water, 70%, 75%, and water retains memory, which means all the memories of our experiences are in the body and in the cells. And if we want to make a change, we can't just make it with the mind. So this method helps you, takes you through the layers of the unconscious and brings you to the memory that's in your cells.
Oh, really? How does it do that? How do you access that memory?
I access it. I go the reverse, sort of like osmosis way. I start with the layer on the top, and what is the thought that is repressed in the body, the top layer. The method helps to verbalize and through certain breathing system, release it. Then another thought comes up, and then you release that. Then another one comes up, and you go through many layers of the unconsciousness this way, but you're also working with the whole body. It's not just one area of the body. So the method works with from head to toe, and it goes through different parts of the body, back and forth, and so that the contradictory thoughts are also released from different parts of the body. Because we know that many times we feel one thing, we say something else. We try to be nice. We don't tell people exactly what we feel. We repress our fears. We don't really feel comfortable to tell people, well, you know, I don't really want this, or I don't think I want to do this. So all these things are repressed in the body. And no matter how much we try to think positively, it just doesn't happen. And people who have been coming to me, they keep saying, I've tried everything and I'm still stuck. The reason is because the body, the memory in the body has not been accessed. And the memory, what is the memory? It's a belief that is based on life experience. Okay, let's say as a child, you had an experience, even at your birth. Let's say you were in the process of your birth. You were thrown out into the big wild world, and the world says, whoa, this is scary. This is too big, and I'm afraid. So that first fear is already in the body's cells.
All right. So how do we get rid of it? I mean, I guess it's a whole process with the breath, and you go through layers. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. And, yeah, it's a process of, well, it's 98 minutes, the whole process that I take you through. So you have to go through the process step by step. Mm-hmm. And because I've worked with so many people, probably hundreds now, even probably over 1,000 people that I've worked with, it works, the same principle works with each person. So okay. Therefore, it's almost like a scientific way of creating this. The whole system is based on science. It's not just, you know, feel good or try to imagine something, or it doesn't use the mind. It uses the body. It uses the emotions. It uses the thoughts. It uses consciousness. And it uses your spirit. Mm-hmm. And it uses it all at the same time.
Really? So you access all of that at the same time through, like, a breathing, you're saying?
It's through the breathing, it's through out loud verbal expression, and it's through a system that is not based on a mental process.
Mm.
In other words, what I'm doing with this method is I'm helping people access their wisdom eye. So through their wisdom eye, then they access their being, the center in the being. They suddenly they jump out of the mind. And there's suddenly you see that, I see now, I have the clarity. I see the truth. And I see what is not true. And when you see what is not true, obviously what is true prevails. And you know that I've been in a dream thinking that this thing is true. And once you see that, you go, well, I've been thinking that my parents, you know, did all this and that, and I'm angry with them. It's all their fault. But suddenly you see that, you know what? You got attracted to your parents because you needed to learn certain lessons that only they could have taught you, because you needed to see something about yourself that is very similar to your parents. The moment you see that, it's liberating. You suddenly feel free. And suddenly you go, thank you. In that thank you, in the gratitude, in that realization is where transformation happens. And suddenly you jump into a higher vibration that you realize I'm taking responsibility for my life. So the method helps you do all these things very quickly.
Well, I'm excited to try it. I would love to try it. Yeah, definitely. You're going to be outlining this at the expo and the lectures you're doing?
Yes.
So are people going to be going through the process with you or
what?
Well,
I cannot do 98 minutes at the lecture. I only have 45 minutes.
Right.
So what I'll be doing at the lecture, I will be explaining, and then I'll call in for volunteers, and
right.
I'll just explain the principle that how those thought forms are repressed in the body. I'll just demonstrate that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also demonstrate just how once you're expressing them out, how the energy starts changing, how the emotions that are repressed come up. And then obviously that's the principle of it, and then the method takes you through the whole body. Step by step, clearing, like detoxifying all those thoughts and emotions that are like clouds covering the consciousness that's within. Because, you know, we're all come knowing. We're all come conscious. We're all come. We can never lose consciousness. We can never lose our essence. We're eternally with our essence. There's no death.
Right, right. We are forever beings, and that's a big focus of the show. But no, I'm just wondering, when can people try the whole thing? When will they have a chance to actually, you know?
Well, that's where the book, it's now in New York, we'll be releasing a book. It's a book set, a box set with a book and two CDs. And it has a long version and a short version of the method. And the book explains, it has preparation steps, how to prepare for the system. It has all the many Q&As that people have tried over the years and have asked about the method. So, and it outlines the key components of the method. So pretty much the book explains the principle, and there's case studies there. There is research that we've done is there with some visuals, and you can see the auras, like with the machine, GDV machine with Dr. Kortkov. I don't know if you're familiar with that one.
No. But what's the name of this book, this new book?
It's called Healing the Body, Awakening Consciousness with the Dalian Method, an Advanced Healing System for the New Humanity.
Oh, nice. So you'll be selling the books at the expo, right?
Yes.
And on your website as well, people can get these books?
They can get it on my website as well, yes. And we're getting them in now. So we're going to be ready to ship. And basically, that's what I was saying. I'm so excited. They're going to be at New York for the first time ever in anybody's hands.
Nice. You should do a book signing here at the bookstore or something like that.
Yeah, I don't even know which bookstore might be a good one there.
Namaste books would be a good one. Tell Jessica to call me, your assistant, and I'll put her on to some people. But thank you. Thank you for sharing a little bit of that. Is there anything? Well, we'll do some more when you come to New York, but is there any other piece you want to share to this new healing system?
Well, there is a video that we just put out. It's on my Facebook page, and it's also on my website. And there's few tidbits that people talk about the method, and I say a few things. So it's just kind of to give a little feel for it.
Okay, that sounds exciting.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm.
But the best way to learn this method is to get the book.
The best way to get the book, to start working on it, I do have teleclasses and online courses that I help people with to work alongside the method with my guidance. And also, next year, I'm going to start training some people to become coaches of the method, because many people have been already working with me, waiting for when I'm going to train them. So that's coming up as well.
Well, great. I'm happy you're coming to New York. And your website, again, is madadalian, madadalian.com?
Yes.
Is that the best website for you?
That's the best website for me, yeah.
And people, now, would you say this is 100% proof? I mean,
It's 1,000% proof.
Really? So people are guaranteed to have a transformation doing this?
Absolutely.
Method.
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
because the reason I'm so excited, Alan, because I've waited for many lifetimes to bring this method to humanity. And why I've been waiting is because the consciousness level hasn't been at the level where people can actually be ready to start taking their own transformation into their own hands. It's a responsibility that people are feeling now, okay, well, I want to do it for myself. I don't want to be dependent on other people, you know, doing things that I'm not even sure what they're doing. And not only that, many times when you see a therapist, you feel almost like people feel shy, and they feel, well, I'm afraid to tell you everything. So they hold back on things. With the method, you could do it yourself. You don't have to hold back. You can express those things that you don't want to tell anyone. And as you free your energy from what you've been keeping, and those thoughts are lived, they're not just sitting there waiting to be lived. Once they're lived, your energy just flows. The river starts flowing. Energy flows, and it reaches your third eye because the method uses the third eye very extensively. And once you get to the third eye, that's where clarity comes in. That's where your inner vision opens up. And once you see that with clarity, you see that I have the power. I don't need to be afraid of rejection. I don't need to be afraid of making mistakes. I don't need to be afraid to take risks. And I don't need to be afraid of the unknown.
I like that. Thank you. That's all very helpful for me. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah. Thanks. So I look forward to seeing you. I'll see you on Friday.
Yeah, same here.
Thanks for being. I know it's a short program, but we'll do more in New York for sure.
Well, thanks so much for having me last minute like this, Alan.
Yes.
I
wanted to give a little push for you, you know. So that's Mada Eliza Dahlia, and she'll be at the New Life Expo, which is coming to the Pennsylvania Hotel in New York City, October 17th, 18th, and 19th. And then she's also doing a lecture on the 16th for the Association for Psychotherapy and Spirituality, which I'm a part of. And then on the 20th, she's also doing something at the 92nd Street Y. Is that true? And so you're booked, like, four or five days in a row.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so I'm pretty booked.
Which, okay.
Happy to meet everybody and see you and get New York a little bit more, maybe, you know, bring a little bit more joy to New York.
Yes, well, we can all use more joy wherever we are. So thank you, Mada. Thank you, Eliza, for doing this, for being a guest, too.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. See you soon.
Okay, see you soon. That was Mada Eliza Dahlia with her new healing method that she says is really 1,000% effective in helping people change and transform their lives. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to my website again, newrealities.com. Thank all my guests tonight, including my previous guests, Drs. JJ and Desiree Hertok. And look forward to hearing from you. On my website, you can leave a comment or tune in next week, same time. Thank you.